The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Art O'Leary has joined me in studio. Art is Chief Executive of An Cumasúin Thocán, the Electoral Commission. Art, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kieran. Nice to be here with you.
Yeah, no guesses or no prizes for anybody guessing why you're here. We've got an election coming up around the corner, and we hope you're here to kind of maybe clear up some confusion or answer questions people might have about getting registered to vote and how to go through the process and all of that. So before we talk about registration, let me ask you about eligibility. Who's eligible to vote in a general election?
Well, there are four distinct categories. So you have to be over 18. You have to be an Irish or a British citizen. You have to be resident here in Ireland, and you must be on the electoral register. This is the bit that's important, you know. So the deadline for registration is tomorrow, Tuesday. So it's very important that your listeners check the register.ie. Even if you did vote already in the referendums and the local and European Parliament elections earlier on this year, it's no harm just to check the register to make sure you're still on, you have the right address, you haven't changed address, or any of your other details haven't changed.
Is eligibility different for a general election when compared to locals or Europeans?
Yes, yeah. I mean, European citizens from anywhere can vote in the European Parliament elections, and in the locals, you just have to be resident here. So you don't need a citizenship requirement. So the general election is different in that regard. So the electorate is slightly smaller than we had in June, perhaps, but we have registered so many new people so far this year. Over nearly 350,000 new people have joined the register since we started our campaign in January. So at one level, it's heartening to see, but but it is an extra burden for everybody who's managing this vote.
How is it that people might have been on the register and no longer on it? What are the types of things that happen that get you bumped off?
Yeah, I mean, some people, well, people die all the time. Yeah. And I mean, if there are lots of John Murphys living in the local area, just check that the right John Murphy was taken off, etc. And because we've had a number of very short deadlines here, the local authority staff have been working really, really hard to get people onto the register, if at all possible. So in the final 24 hours before the local and European Parliament elections, there were 38,000 people applied to join the register. So at the moment, since we started campaigning about 6 weeks ago, we have, we're registering about 1,000 people a day at the moment. So it's a bit, Irish people are great for this. You know, we check our passports the day before we go on holidays and we leave everything till the last moment. Yeah. So it takes less than 3 minutes to register to vote. So this afternoon, while you're having a cup of tea after your dinner this evening, while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, go to checktheregister.ie, and all you need is your PPS number, your air code and your date of birth, and it takes no time at all.
Okay, so that's all you need to do. PPS number, date of birth and air code. That's all you need to register.
That's all you need. It takes 2 minutes and 57 seconds. There's a really useful video on our website, electoralcommission.ie. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 minutes, 57 seconds for the video. So it shows you exactly the steps that you have to take in order to register to vote.
And is it close of business tomorrow? Is it midnight tomorrow night? What's the cutoff?
As soon as you can. I mean,
you're going to say that, Art, but what's the actual cutoff?
It is online. So if people get in before midnight tomorrow.
Okay. Then, but don't leave it till 11.
No, please. Well,
how long did you say it takes? 2.5 minutes?
2 minutes and 57 seconds.
Don't leave it till 2:50 or 11:56 and 3 seconds to start the process.
You might be
cutting it tight. There's been a campaign run by some of the homeless charities, I noticed as well in recent days, to get homeless people to register to vote. Is there any kind of difficulty in that regard if there's no home address to send polling cards to? How does that work?
No, I mean, we've done some work with Focus Ireland here as well to encourage everybody to vote.
They have
a homeless person's vote counts exactly the same as the president or the Taoiseach as well. It's one opportunity for people to have the same voice. People use their local post office as their address for polling purposes.
Okay.
So your polling cards, all your information leaflet, they'll all turn up at your local post office and you just pop in to pick them up there.
Okay, so the polling card, we mightn't kind of get too bogged down in what you need on voting day just yet. We might have conversation.
We'll come back and do that.
Maybe a couple of days out, and in terms of what people can expect from the ballot and how to go through it and not spoil your vote and all of those types of things, because people have so many questions about that as well. And our system arguably gets a little more complicated than when you're into kind of proportional representation and single transferable vote. Like I say, 26th or 27th, 28th November, we'll get into all of that. in order to put yourself forward for election, you need to be registered as well, do you?
You don't have to be registered in the constituency.
All right.
But you do need to be a member of a political party. You can be nominated by a political party, or else you can be approved by 30 what are called assenters. So people based in the constituency who are registered in that constituency as well. Or you can pay a €500 deposit, you know, and anyone who is thinking of putting themselves forward, they should talk to their local returning officer as soon as they can. The deadline, the close of nominations is next Saturday. So there's not much time left to go and do this. It's not that difficult to put yourself forward for election in this country. We have, as a state, made it very easy, which is why we saw 27 candidates in Midlands, Northwest in the European Parliament elections as well. And people give out about the length of time it takes to complete a ballot paper and to count them afterwards. But this is a choice. You know, we make it easier or harder for people to put themselves forward. And we're in the easy space right now.
And are there kind of criteria that might disqualify people from registering? I know you're not going to comment on any particular case, but of course, Jerry the Monk Hutch is on the front page of a lot of newspapers today, and he'd have a criminal record. Are things like that disqualifying different people?
No. I mean, you can't be serving a sentence. That's the only disqualifying criteria, as far as I'm aware.
If you're on parole or probation from it, or have a suspended sentence hanging over you,
I'd have to check it. Okay. Sounds to me as if it's probably okay.
Just once you're not physically behind bars, as it were.
I think that is the only qualifying criteria.
We'll take it as it is and you'll get back to us and we'll update people. But for the moment, we'd assume that's it, unless you're physically behind bars. What about somebody who is 17 now but is going to turn 18 between now and polling day? Is there a difficulty in when they go to register? Will it kind of say, oh, you're too young?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
no.
So we're in the date of birth.
16 and 17 year olds can pre-register, so they're automatically at it. So if your birthday is even on the 29th of November, you are entitled to vote that day as well. We have had a couple of calls from people who have a birthday that day who are turning 18, and we're delighted to be able to say they'll be voting for the first time.
Wow.
So only 2% of 16 and 17 year olds are have pre-registered to vote. It's a huge job for us to do. I mean, we have a big audience there to tackle, mostly in schools where we can get at them. You know, the last elections in June were during the Leaving Cert, you know, so Maths Paper 1 and Geography consumed people's minds. And we ran a campaign to encourage them to vote on the way home, but I'm not sure how successful that was.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that all of these students who have now left school and are in first year in university will be voting for the first time.
So when you look at the demographics, which age bracket is best represented in the register?
The over 55s, you know. Whatever about the register, the over 55s certainly are best represented in as voters.
Yeah.
You know, they can be absolutely dependent on to turn up to vote. So we were running lots and lots of different campaigns targeting different age groups and audiences. I mean, we've been out speaking to the traveller community and to people with disabilities as well, some of the new Irish, to encourage them to get out and vote.
And would they traditionally have been kind of regarded as disenfranchised groups then within Ireland?
Yeah, I'm always reluctant to call them disenfranchised because they do have a vote, but they tend not to engage. You know, sometimes they feel that the political system has nothing to do with them, you know. Mm. And so we've been out in these communities saying, every 5 years you have an opportunity to have a voice in saying how this country should be run and how taxpayers' money should be spent. So they're a target audience, they're a really important audience for us for the next 3 weeks.
And with regard to kind of those campaigns then to get some of those marginalised communities or younger people to vote or what have you, do you look at kind of lessons learned in other jurisdictions? And are there market leaders, as it were, in that regard? Who's done a really good job of getting young people registered?
Oh, the Australians.
Really?
You know, they're the gold standard. Now, in fairness, they have mandatory voting.
Yes.
So they do have to make it as easy as possible. So they use all kinds of data from your revenue and your driver's licence and the whole works. They reckon they have 98.9% of their population registered, you know.
Amazing.
And I was in Darwin in the Northern Territories as a guest of the Australian Electoral Commission about 18 months ago. And they were in communities for with people who lived off the grid, indigenous peoples who they encouraged to join the electoral register as well. So they have a very high bar there. Our electoral register, you've heard people speaking about it in recent weeks and you'll hear more about it. It's not in a great state, you know. So we're hoping that in the next couple of years we'll be able to turn that around.
And what's the problem with it, the fundamental issue with our register?
Well, we speak about the register as if it's a single thing, a single entity. We've got 31 separate registers and unfortunately they don't talk to each other. You know, they're each run by separate local authorities. So there's a brilliant project going on in the Department of Housing with the local authorities at the moment to create a single database. And by using unique identifiers like a date of birth, we should be able to eliminate duplicates. Because if you were born in Kerry and go to college in Cork and do a master's in Dublin and then get your first job in Waterford and then meet a lovely Galway girl and then settle down in Mayo, it is possible that you will have many, many addresses for electoral register purposes, and we don't know about it. You know, we're very good in this country at putting people on the register and making it easy for people to get on the register, but we're always reluctant to take them off. And by creating a single database where we can identify duplicates, then we're hoping that in October 2026, the register will be in a much better position.
Is there any way to measure the phenomenon in this country of people who still go back to kind of that where they grew up to vote? So I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, and it's just where they've always been registered and they kind of drive home and they'll vote and they'll pop into mum and dad and maybe get dinner for themselves and then they'll drive back to Dublin or wherever it is.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
You know, and interesting, we're talking
about... My country is Kiltartan's cross. My countryman Kiltartan's poor.
Yeah, well, I always vote for such and such a party, you know, and we're looking at the register returns from each of the local authorities at the moment and some of them stand out, you know, because in Leitrim, for instance, they have their electoral register is 118% of the over 18 population.
Right, okay.
And it is because people return home to vote.
Yes.
That's what the local authority are saying. So you should be voting where you're a resident, obviously, but we encourage people to vote. So,
what about postal votes? What's the rules in this country around postal voting?
We are quite restrictive when it comes to postal voting. So, I mean, people understand that if you're a diplomat, if you're working away, or if you're in the defence forces, then abroad in places like the Leb at the moment, you have a postal vote. People with a disability who can't make it to a polling station on polling day. People with long stay in nursing homes or hospitals. Students who are studying away from home somewhere in the state are entitled to a postal vote too. And the category that very few people seem to know about are people who will be working away from home on the day of polling, you know. So if you're an airline pilot or a long distance lorry driver and you're going to be away, you are entitled to a postal vote. Now, and, sadly, the deadline was for that was yesterday, Sunday. But because we've been banging on about this for the last 6 weeks, we're hoping that anyone who was entitled to a postal vote has already applied.
And if they have already applied, can they send that vote in at any stage between now and the election, or is it on voting day, or how does it work?
It'll be done in advance, you know. So after the close of nominations next Saturday. The returning officers in each of the individual constituencies will start to put their ballot papers together. And when the ballot papers are printed, then they'll pop them in an envelope and send them to people in advance and with a return envelope and to be returned in advance of the general election. This is why the deadline is so short, because there's a lot of work.
But in advance, you see, you have to have that posted by the 28th.
Oh, yes. Certainly. Yeah. And again, sooner than that, we would have thought.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So we encourage people to do these things early.
Do you want people in court relying on their old contract law arguments about post and offer and acceptance?
And you know the way that the margins in some elections are so tight.
Yes.
That 1, 2, 3 votes will make a difference. And postal votes are the same. They count the same.
And the commission then, tell me a little bit briefly, because, you know, we've got through an awful lot. And like I say, if you are willing, we'll have you back closer to the election to talk about the actual voting process. But the work of the commission in terms of electoral integrity as well, all of this speaks to electoral integrity and the integrity of the register and everything. But, you know, campaigns are kind of misinformation and disinformation and people being able to recognise kind of the truth and what they see. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's the fundamental foundation stone of everything, electoral integrity. Irish people have to trust the process and they have to have confidence in the result. Otherwise, democracy doesn't work in this country. So the Electoral Commission had powers in the legislation that were set up, but they were never commenced. So we're using our information and our public engagement education powers to try and talk to people about the dangers of mis and disinformation. We have agreed a framework, a voluntary framework, with all the social media companies, and I've sent them all to the political parties and candidates as well, suggesting that they should be transparent about online political advertising. They should be careful about electoral process mis and disinformation, and they should also be very careful about deep fakes, you know, inauthentic content like that as well. Should be clearly labelled as well, because there have been a few instances where people have been talking about this, and on the one hand, it is very amusing, where people say, well, listen, obviously this is not true.
Yeah.
Not everybody can tell the difference between something.
Do you
that's
worry
real
about where
fake.
We're going in that space, you know, when you see the technology?
We ran a campaign earlier on this year for the referendums and the locals and Europeans, and the premise was very simple. We said, you know, there is one day of every year where people question everything that they see, read, and hear. Mm. And that day is April Fool's Day. So we're suggesting that during the course of an election campaign, you should treat every day like April Fool's Day. You know,
okay, yeah.
go, ask yourself, when you see something that doesn't sound right or might be a little bit off, who benefits from this information? Where is it coming from? And is there somewhere I can go to check it? You know, and these are three very important questions. Young people are very good at that. Digital natives, we're finding that who we worried about online. But even my own teenage daughters do this. They live their lives through the lens of TikTok right now. Taylor Swift is queen in my house, and but my daughters do seem to have this inbuilt thing. Oh, that looks a bit odd. I better go and check and find out if somebody else talking about it.
Anyway, listen, Art, we really appreciate the time. Busy time of year for you. Art O'Leary's chief executive of An Cumasúin took on the Electoral Commission. Art, like I say, thank you. And we'll talk to you again before
great,
the
great pleasure.
Election.
I'd be delighted to come back. I mean, it's obviously, there's lots of information on our website about how to vote, etc.
Yeah, but the website address is?
Electoralcommission.ie.
Electoralcommission.ie. Art Garmila again.
False oath.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.